Today on Family Talk.
I didn't run. There were little alarm bells, you know, and I didn't run because I was in a certain rebellious place in my own life.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and we're continuing our conversation with Julie Barnhill on the subject of women and emotional adultery. You know, when you think about the subject of infidelity, it's always easy to think, it'll never happen to me. That may be especially true for women, because men typically have more infidelity problems than women do. But our guest today shares candidly about her own emotional affair and the ways that women are particularly vulnerable to this danger. Now, on our last broadcast, Julie Barnhill pointed out the difference between men and women that's important for this subject. She noted that men are often lured into affairs with women on a physical basis, what the scripture refers to as the lust of the flesh. But women are more commonly enticed by emotional factors that occur outside the marital relationship. You often see this in many of the popular TV shows and movies, even romance novels. All of those stories can set up a pretty unrealistic picture of what a husband is supposed to be, and when he doesn't measure up, there's the danger that a woman will start looking to someone else to meet those expectations and those needs. Unfortunately, that's exactly what happened to our guest, Julie Barnhill, who shared some of her personal story with us yesterday. It was not an easy story to tell, but thankfully, it does have a happy ending. Just a quick note before we begin. This program features our former co-host, Lou Ann Crane, so you'll hear from her throughout the program. Let's get to that right now, right here on Family Talk.
Julie, I want to thank you for being so vulnerable with us. You shared some of the factors that led up to a period of dissatisfaction in your marriage. You indicated, in fact, that you were at one time involved in emotional adultery. Now, I'm not asking you for many of the details about that now, but tell us as much of that story as will be instructive to other people. How did you find yourself caught in such a snare?
Well, you know, I want to go back a little bit in my, probably like in my 20s and 30s in marriage. There's just, you connect sometimes, you have a chemistry with a man, you know, that it's a friendship. I mean, you church people, yeah. You know, my story is coming out of a church place. It's not like I'm going to the bars and, you know, and that type of thing. I'm not on chat rooms. I'm not trying to find somebody. You know, it's like right there in your living room.
That's what makes it seductive.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And there were a few times in through our marriage that Rick didn't know at the time that I cut back on the time we spent with specific couples because there was a chemistry between me and one of the husbands. And it scared me. They weren't coming on to me. You know, I wasn't dreaming of a life with them, but there was something there that was a lot more than, you know, these 10 other guys over here, you know, in this group. And so I saw that. And what I would do is I'd gain weight, or, you know, a lot of times, because when I get chubby, you know, not that everybody's looking at me all the time anyway, but, you know, just I knew that. And then, you know, you get into marriage, you get into your teenage years, and I can tell you, really, the nail in the coffin in this topic for me, I mean, it's interesting that Kristen and I have our story of her rebellion, right? Mm-hmm. We had the story of her saying, I don't want to obey authority, exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, it was during some of those years of hers that I was having this in my life. And I had checked out emotionally in my marriage. I was tired of having conversations with my husband. I was tired of not getting the response that I wanted. You know, was it what I should hear? I don't know, but it's sure what I wanted to hear and wanted to talk about. So I just shut myself off emotionally from him. You know, just kind of go through the motions.
It's so dangerous. More women file for divorce than men, and it's
really
right at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me tell you a relationship that Shirley and I had with a family that was interesting along this line, because he was a very well-known author and still is, and a Christian leader. And we went to dinner one time together. It's the only time we've ever been to dinner. And we came home that night, and Shirley said, "Let me tell you something about him." I said, "What?" And she said, "He is very hungry. He is very needy." And I said, "I didn't see it. How'd you know?" And she said, "Women know.
You do.
Women know." She picked it up, and he's been married 3 or 4 times now.
It's a great, I mean, that leads exactly, because there's something that, I don't know what it is, but I was putting out something. There's something in me that at a certain right time, I shouldn't say the right time, but at the wrong time, another man in a similar situation, I guess, I don't know what all of his story was, but picked up on that need, that hunger, if you would say. And it was conversation, Dr. Dobson, conversation. And not dirty talk, not anything like that, just talk.
There's
conversation.
There's an intensity in the relationship
about
that
common,
communicates both ways, and we're made that way. And when it happens, run like crazy.
And I didn't run. There were little alarm bells, you know, and I didn't run because I was in a certain rebellious place in my own life. And here's the thing, though, Dr. Rick encourages me. I mean, he's not distant, like, oh, yeah, you do that little speaker writer thing. I mean, he's all in with me. You go
do. I've met him. He's a neat guy.
He is. So I think part of maybe my nervousness has been, even over the past month, is that it's as if God's had a mirror just, I mean, an inch from my nose and has said, okay, you want to look at your marriage? And there I am, you know? And I have really been looking at some of those behaviors and decisions I made. And I also just wanted to say, I just chose to go forward with it.
Yeah.
You know?
And so what we're saying to our listeners out there who recognize themselves, the mirror is in front of their noses right now. And what we're saying to them, when you see that you have that vulnerability, don't give place to it because it's Eve in the garden again. And the Lord said, don't do this. And she says, I will do it anyway. I will have my way. And the end thereof is the way of death.
It is. And there is no life. There is no life in the decision to move forward in that emotional thought life, in physical decisions. If one chooses to go all the way with it, you know, I shared with you that, there was lots of distance. So that helped a lot.
Yeah, to keep you from making
absolutely.
More disastrous mistake. Luann, it just... so many people listening to us, I know, who have run past all the red flags. And it just seemed so right at the time. And it destroyed everything. It destroyed their kids. It destroyed their marriage. It destroyed their reputation. Some of the guys lost careers over it. Pastors have messed up their whole church. There they were responsible for the flock and for their spiritual welfare. And for a little bit of pleasure like this, they've done something unbelievably stupid. It didn't start by running to the bedroom. Mm-hmm. It started with this kind of emotional connection.
Absolutely.
And of course, for the man, the physical connection more commonly. Just yield to it and see whether you get what you want. Mm-hmm. You usually don't. And even if your marriage breaks up and then you marry this person, I said in one of my writings that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, but it still has to be mowed. And the next thing you know, you're back to an ordinary life again, and those needs are still there. Don't go there. Don't go there.
I was at that place at some point, be like, I can't imagine how you could do that. But that's what I want women to know, is that it makes you go crazy. I mean, you don't think straight.
Yeah.
Because it's sin, for one thing, and the other is that it's just you, it's a self-centeredness that you have to go to because it becomes all about you and all about me. But it's so hard to pull yourself out of that.
And there is a hormonal connection to it, too. We were talking, Luann, about bringing up girls and about oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
You just hug each other for 20 seconds. And oxytocin is released. And within 20 seconds, there is a sense of trust and well-being and rightness about what you're doing and caution to the wind.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not good. And I tell you what, I kind of played games with this. And, I was speaking, and I felt lousy after I'd speak because I'd be talking about something and then I'm like, Julie, this is what's in your life. You know, the spiritual element of that, the enemy coming at you and like, you're nothing, you're worthless. And I'll tell you, God will get your attention. And I have never had anything like this happen in my life ever. And by God's grace, Dr. Dobson, I'll be in your camp. It'll never happen again. I had talked to my husband, I talked to Rick about where I was, you know, just in our marriage and just, you know, loneliness and areas. I'm a needy woman. I had a friend one time that said, you're a Grand Canyon of need. You know, there's no man that can possibly fill everything that you want. And so God was working in me. I'm trying to give those things over to Him without resenting it and being frustrated, but still had not closed the door, an email relationship with this person, and some phone conversations had not shut that door completely. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, one morning, and it was Amos 3:5. I mean, it was just this, like a pounding in my chest. I mean, I felt it in my spirit. And I woke up and I'm like, Amos, is that even in the Bible? Yeah. I think that's in the Bible. And I went downstairs, you know, Rick's sleeping. I go downstairs, I get my Bible, and I read this verse, and it says, does a bird fall into a trap on the ground where no snare has been set? Does a trap spring up from the earth when there is nothing to catch? And I was like, huh? You know, like, what does that mean? So I go to my computer, I get on Matthew Henry commentary, I click on Amos 3:5, and the header said, a stupid and senseless people refuse to hear his voice. Mm. And I began to read, and it was all about basically God saying, you have set a trap for yourself. And if you don't think you're going to get caught in that trap, you're a fool. And then, like, the next verses say, when a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble. When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants and prophets. I was scared to death. I didn't know what it meant. I thought, is God saying that he's going to take me home to heaven? I pushed him too far. I didn't know what it meant. And so I just began to pray. I've got written here, duplicity, duplicity, duplicity. So I went to, I couldn't go back to bed. And I called a friend that next morning and told her what happened. And she said, I don't know. You know, the word's the word. But to me, he's definitely saying, stop what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And maybe everything's going to come out. Everything's going to be exposed, or maybe it's not, but you have to stop. And I can tell you, it stopped. I mean, that day, every door was shut, every single door. Mm-hmm. And
thank God.
It was.
But what's interesting to me, Julie, is that you hadn't really crossed the lines of physical infidelity. So to most Christian women, they would say, well, you hadn't broken the law, and yet you were severely convicted of your heart.
Yeah, but go back to Matthew 5 again, and Jesus said adultery occurs in the heart. Mm. It doesn't have to occur physically.
But so often we're looking for that letter of the law, that one line, well, I didn't cross it.
Technically.
Technicality. right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you said that the Lord will get the message through to you. I mentioned in the last program about King David and Bathsheba. Do you remember why that became such an important thing in his life? He got a visit from Nathan.
Oh, that's right.
And Nathan came in and told a little parable and then said, thou art the man, that he's really talking about David. And then in the 12th chapter, I believe, of 1 Samuel, Nathan says to him, you have given great occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme. That's what's at stake here.
Right.
You know, you are, in effect, allowing those that hate God to say, see, it doesn't work.
And we see that.
See, they're just as wicked as everybody else.
You know, another thing that God allowed, too, was just truth. You know, here I had kind of this 13-year-old girl mindset that, you know, I connected with this person and he connected with me and I'm the only person that, you know, connected with him like this, even though he was married also. And God brought three women into my life who knew that person. And it was the same story. So, and you know, and you know what?
So he was involved.
It was a pattern.
Yeah.
It had been a pattern in the past for him.
So you weren't special.
And
like
I,
you were
exactly.
Thinking.
And I can tell you, I had never done this before. I mean, you know, I shared with you chemistry with people and stuff, but I had never, ever done this before in my life. And what I felt, I think it was the Holy Spirit, was you think you're special? Take a number and get in line.
Oh.
And that sounds so harsh, but it's truth that I needed. It was just like, Julie, you're not special. You're just one more person that came along, you know, and after you, there'll be somebody else. And it helped me again. And exposed my husband for the wonderful man that he is and who loves me and who I trust emphatically.
Stated another way, you are in that relationship for the love and emotional connection. You realized he was in it for something else.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it made it dirty.
Yeah.
It sullied it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't this meeting of the minds thing, but just a common thing like everybody
else. All right. We're running out of time in this second program. I'd like you to explain how your relationship with your husband handled this. Did you ever come clean with him? Did you ever tell him?
Oh, absolutely.
And what was his reaction to it?
I did. You know, and I would give Rick little – women do this, I guess. But I would give him little bits of information even in the midst of
wanting him to figure it out.
Wanting to ask questions and he didn't. And I don't know. You'd have to ask him, you know, if he didn't do it because he didn't want to know or he just trusted me. I mean, I think that was part of it. It's just like, Julie, if you're going on trips and all this, you're good. I trust you, sweetheart. So I did. We had to just sit down and I just had to say, look, this is where my heart has been. I started that way and allowed him to kind of ask questions and gave information as he asked. I don't know if you'd agree. I had one counselor one time that said, you know, allow him to know what he wants to know to a certain degree. So we did that. And I've been really honest about just that loneliness, you know, in conversation with him. For me, you know, it was like books. Talking books and writings, and I told him, I said, the best foreplay in the world is like if a man says, I just read in Ephesians chapter 3:6-8, you know? And so just really a deeper intimacy with my husband, because that was a hard conversation to have.
I'm sure it was. Did he learn something about you through that? Did he learn something about your need that might relate to him?
He did, and, you know, and he has stepped up in that area. He has read 2 books in like the past. I mean, that's like, get him on tape. That's like, just get him on tape, Julie, and I'm good to go. You know, but yeah, we have picked out specific books. We have gone to a family therapist, family counselor, just for good reasons all around. Yeah.
You know, Julie, you were saying that you gave clues to your husband about what he needed to know that he didn't know, and he didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
A woman would have caught it. A woman would have caught it. You would have caught it if those clues had been given to you.
I agree.
But a man, for some reason, doesn't typically see it.
Let me ask you a question, and you could give me your doctorate opinion here. Rick and I once had a conversation, and I let him know that a specific area in our marriage that I was just really struggling with, and he didn't really have a response. He didn't have a response, and that I was angry. You know, I was just like, how can you not have a response to that? And then I closed off emotionally. How, even now, you know, what's the best way to talk to my husband where I'm letting you want him to know these needs that you need met or loneliness? I don't know how we want to say it without making it sound like you're not doing anything right, because that wasn't my tone or my heart at all.
Yeah. The least threatening that can be, the better. The least criticism implied, even if you don't say it. The other thing is that a man often has to think about those things. A woman will get it instantly because she's got a connection between both sides of her brain through a super highway that runs through, called a corpus callosum. It carries incredible amounts of emotional information from one side to the other. A man's got to think those things over. He may get it 2 weeks from now.
Oh, that is so hard for me to hold on to. I mean, to grasp, you know, and I've heard that. And that helps me have more grace with Rick, absolutely.
Well, so if a woman comes up to her husband and says, for instance, I'm lonely, he doesn't hear, oh, you're lonely. He hears, I'm not doing it right.
Yeah, he takes it personally, and he does retreat. But if you give him time to think about it, and if it's done with a great deal of love, but more than that, for a man, if you give him a story, men respond to stories. Hmm. If you illustrate it for him, rather than an accusation or something that hits him between the eyes, if you can tell him something that you're feeling or some time when the two of you did it well, and if it connects with him emotionally, he will be able to let it in. But if it's coming across as anger or anything accusatory, he's likely to shut up altogether. Now, men are different like women are different.
Sure.
And we're talking in generalities here. But that's common.
Dr. Dobson, she mentioned reading Ephesians. I think that spiritual component is so key for a woman, especially if she has a husband who she doesn't think measures up spiritually to her. And I think, Julie, you've talked about this. We almost have this arrogance as women, and we think if our husbands aren't the spiritual leaders that we know they should be, then we are attracted to another man or spiritual authority in
or
our
the
life.
The way they should be. But how crazy is that? You know, it's like you despise your husband for this, and then what? You go to someone, another man, another husband?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's that.
Who is, in a sense, cheating on his wife?
Absolutely. That's that chaotic, it makes no sense thinking. That I praise God for clarity of thought. I praise God for truth. And I've also told enough friends that, you know, I'm just like, you watch me. And if you hear somebody's name coming up in conversation, call me on that, because maybe there's something going on starting that I'm not really totally tuned into.
So really, Julie, you have built into your life now accountability and boundaries to prevent this from happening again.
I really have, and I'm being extremely honest with two or three core girlfriends, and I'm being extremely honest with Rick.
Yeah. And that, you have been extremely honest with a million
with the
people.
World.
Oh, you know, just a little thing I do.
But there's freedom in that, isn't there? There's enormous freedom.
There is, and you know what? I'm just, if I can say it and it saves someone from going down the track, or you go down the track and you get there and then you're like, okay, Julie Barnhill, I can talk to her about this because she knows what it's like.
Well, Julie, I'm sure we'll never really know how many women are listening to us today, and they have heard your words and have also heard the voice of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking particularly to the woman in our audience who has toyed with the possibility of a love affair with a man at church or a man at work or one in the neighborhood. And she's thought, if I could just get out of this miserable marriage, I would be free to follow the longing of my heart with this guy because he seems so perfectly suited for me. And that sets up an array of fantasies and dreams and longings. But I want to tell you, speaking to that person out there, I don't know your name and probably never will, but you know who I'm talking to. Those thoughts represent a trap. Mm-hmm. They are satanic lies. They will not provide the joy and the bliss it advertises. There's danger down that road, because the scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. It will hurt your spouse, it'll hurt your Christian witness, and ultimately it will hurt you. Don't go there. Mm-hmm. And I pray earnestly that that woman and many, many more like her will look back on this conversation with Julie Barnhill that we have shared today and say, that was a turning point for me.
Well, I certainly hope so. It's all worth it. It's all worth it.
We so appreciate Julie Barnhill's vulnerability today, and we pray that her story has helped rescue someone who is literally on the brink of making a huge mistake in their marriage. That's why Family Talk is here. We want to help you in a troubled marriage. We want to help you work your way through it. If what Julie has shared has hit close to home for you, give us a call. Find out how you can get a copy of Dr. James Dobson's book, Love Must Be Tough, which covers a lot of the themes that we've talked about on today's program. Also online is a link to Julie Barnhill's website, and you can request all of her books, even find out about her next women's retreat. That's at drjamesdobson.org, or just give us a call at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening in, and make plans to be with us again next time right here for another edition of Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute. Thanks for listening today. We hope you found this program helpful and encouraging. Please remember that our ministry is here to serve you and your family. For more information about our programs and resources, or to learn how you can support us, go to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call us toll-free, 877-732-6825. I pray that God will bless you in 2020. And as we start the new year, we're so grateful for your partnership. We ask you to stand with us and to continue to defend the Christian values in an ever-changing culture. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you'll join us again on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.